Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the ODAC Podcast. This is J.J. Nekloff, joined by Brad Bankston. Brad, we are in championship mode right now, even though we've got the spring sports also in full gear as of this weekend. But we just finished the swimming championships, and now we've got the men's and women's basketball and men's and women indoor track championships on the horizon.
You know, we don't know which direction we're going in this time of the year, and that's a good thing probably for me because I usually give directions and a hard thing for people around here that are trying to follow them. So, hopefully we'll be able to keep our bearings on the podcast here and talk a little bit about what happened last weekend and what we're looking forward to. As you said, at the same time of having teams all over the East Coast, really, for spring and heading south, and right now it feels like it's Florida weather outside, so we're fortunate right now for our spring sports. But as you mentioned, swimming championships last week, and it was another very impressive performance by Washington and Lee, winning their 21st overall crown, and Randolph-Macon finished second, followed by Sweetbriar in third and Bridgewater in fourth. And I think the other thing I was really impressed with was the individual performances and overall the enthusiasm that the competitors have, not only for their own teammates, but for everybody else that's competing as well. It was a real pleasure to be involved with it.
Yeah, there was a lot of excitement around the event just in general from the start, or actually from before things got started, because we were competing in a new facility in the Christiansburg Aquatic Center, and it got rave reviews by the end of the weekend, both from the student-athletes and from the coaches. Absolutely loved the facility. If you watch the swimming recap on the ODAC website, the ODAC Championship website also has that. You can listen to both Cammie Gardner talk about her team's victory and then Sarah Allman, the ODAC Swimmer of the Year this past year, for her performance at the meet last weekend, talk about not only the performances of the team and herself, but also how much she enjoyed the facility as well. But she was just one of the standout performers of a meet that finished on a high note with a very dramatic, exciting come-from-behind win for Randolph-Macon in the 400 freestyle relay. Randolph-Macon was down after the first three legs, but Sarah Allman hit the water for that final leg and came back and won that one. And she explains that one in that video as well. But she was the ODAC Swimmer of the Year. Coach Ben Delia was the ODAC Coach of the Year. Tracy Lynn Babington, who set two NCAA B cuts to qualify for the Nationals, one in the 100-yard breaststroke and the other one in the 200-yard breaststroke, was the ODAC Rookie of the Year. And the scholar-athlete went to Delaney Rolfe from Washington and Lee University, and the Bonnie Kessner Sportsmanship Award went to Kelly Mae Ross from Washington and Lee. The Atlantic States Awards, there are only two of them, the Swimmer of the Year and the Coach of the Year, both went to Greensboro College, Emma Phillips, and head coach Scott Buddy.
Well, you know, again, it's a little awkward in that we have the Atlantic States with the ODAC, but as I mentioned earlier, the camaraderie of the athletes and their opportunity to cheer for everyone else. There's just a great deal of enthusiasm surrounding the championship, and something that if you haven't had a chance to be involved in our swimming championship, and I would say our track championship is much like swimming in the individual nature of the sport and the ability to work up and better your times from a previous mark. You know, it's just a great opportunity to see our student athletes compete, and I enjoyed doing that, and I enjoyed the opportunity to see the new Christiansburg facility and the work that Bill Beecher has done there, and we should send out a kudos to him for serving as our meet director and doing a wonderful job at that.
Well, as we switch gears from one exciting championship to another, let's look at men's basketball right now. The basketball tournament starts Tuesday, February 22nd, with the first round games at the sites of the 6, 7, and 8 seeds at 7 o'clock p.m., the first five seeds get a free trip into Salem, which will start with the quarterfinals on Friday the 25th, semifinals on the 26th, and the championship on the 27th. And we've got a logjam in the standings right now where we don't know what's going to happen until the final regular season games are completed Saturday night.
Now, we've spent an hour or more talking about tiebreakers and the way our system's set up and our schedule with the unbalanced scheduling. It makes our tiebreaker a little unique in looking how teams compare to others, depending upon whether they played them once or twice. So, of course, there's a lot of jockeying going on. There's going to be a lot of decisions made with games are played on Saturday of this week. And we, you know, are looking at a logjam a little bit at the top with Virginia Wesleyan and Randolph-Macon currently tied at first for first at 12-3. And then Eastern Mennonite right below them at 11-4, and Guilford not far behind at 10-5. So, you know, we've got a lot going on at the top, but primarily it's a race between Virginia Wesleyan and Randolph-Macon for the one seed.
And we've got five games this weekend, And each one of them has something to say about the standings. Virginia Wesleyan is going to go to Emory and Henry. And while that's a number 1 versus number 11 game right now, still if Virginia Wesleyan loses that game, which is very possible because Emory and Henry's playing some good basketball right now, then that will definitely affect what happens at the top of the standings. Hampton-Sydney travels to Randolph-Macon in what is a sold-out gymnasium since Wednesday. So that will be an exciting game, especially with what's riding on for Randolph-Macon there with a possible top seed. And for Hampton-Sydney trying to get that bye into Friday, they've won 7 straight, and a win would be 8 straight and doing exactly what they need to do. When we talked to during the podcast last week and said that they would have a shot if they ran the table, but we knew that it would be tough going, but they've absolutely done that here so far, having defeated Guilford, having defeated Virginia Wesleyan College. It's been a great run for them right now. Eastern Mennonite will be making the trip down to Guilford College for a matchup of the teams looking for the 3rd and 4th seed. So we'll absolutely have a big game there with that one. Roanoke is hosting Bridgewater College, and that'll be a game again for seeding, as well as Roanoke is trying to figure out if it's going to be the 6 or 7 seed with Lynchburg College, and Lynchburg is traveling to Randolph, and Randolph is trying to maintain that spot that they've had for most of the season in the top 5, and they need a victory to keep that going, especially with as well as Hampton-Sydney's been playing, and they're tied right now in conference record.
No, it's impressive when you look at our overall records as well. You know, we've got 3 teams with 20 wins so far, and we also have a team that right now could end up finishing 9th in the league at Washington Lee at 5-11. That's actually over 500 in the overall record at 13-12. So Washington Lee has the bye this week. They're going to have to sit back and watch what happens on Saturday to determine who exactly they are playing, where they're playing for the play-in games on Tuesday. But a lot of activity, as you mentioned, in our preparations as well. A lot going on with the conference tournament and discussions with the Salem Civic Center in preparation with the Rotary Club and all the things that go along with it. So we're looking forward to having a wonderful championship, and as you mentioned, kicking things off on Tuesday with 3 games at the site of the higher seeds, something the coaches would like to see happen and have had the ability to be able to play those games for the 6, 7, and 8 seeds going into the tournament. And if history proves correct, there are teams that play on Tuesday that may play in the final at the end of the tournament on Sunday, going back to the Virginia Wesleyan WNL championship.
As we flip the script and go to women's basketball, the standings here don't look much better, as they're still a little bit muddy. All but 2 of the teams have 2 games left to play, which adds a little extra caveat to what we can look at right now as far as predicting what's going to happen with the standings and tournament seeds.
Yeah, it's crazy like the men from the standpoint of looking at the top, and we have 3 teams in Bridgewater, Randolph-Macon, and Roanoke all tied at 15-3 with 2 games to play this weekend and vying for the number 1 seed. And, you know, as any coach or anybody that follows any type of sports understands, you know, seedings are very important. Matchups are important. So they're all wondering who they're going to end up playing. And I think the same is true for the middle of the standings, with Washington and Lee at 12-6, Eastern Mennonite at 11-7, Guilford at 10-8, Virginia Wesleyan at 9-9, and Lynchburg secured in the 8th spot at 7-12. We talk about it every year. I'm sure people that listen to the podcast get tired of us saying and talking about parity, but I don't know any better explanation for parity other than to look at our standings and say, you've got it. And I think that tournament will be reflective of that, and it's probably anybody's ballgame.
Yeah, I would say there are some dangerous teams that are playing well, some that are kind of lying in the weeds right now, and some are hoping that this final weekend they can jumpstart it back up. I would look at Lynchburg College right now. They opened the 2011 portion of the season without a victory yet, and they've run off 7 victories here in the second half of the season. So kudos to new head coach, now almost 1 year under her belt, Abby Pizik over there at Lynchburg College. But if we look at the top of the standings right now, like you said, we've got 3 teams sitting up there at 15-3 with 2 games left to play. And it's going to be an outstanding run to see who's going to get that top seed and who's going to have to, you know, play that last game on Thursday that you have to wait around and watch everybody else play in the 3rd seed. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens here this weekend. Washington Lee, the defending champion, you have to figure until you knock off the top team, they're still the team to beat. So Washington Lee comes in the tournament having started to play well again also. So that should be a very interesting weekend here for both men's and women's basketball as we gear up for the tournament.
Well, we've had a great opportunity to sit down and talk to Washington Lee head coach Mandy King and ask her a little bit about Let's talk about last year. Let's think as you entered the tournament. They entered the tournament as the 3 seed last year at 14-6. They have the ability to replicate that record again this year. They are 12-6 now with 2 games to play. And, of course, her assistant coach, who was at her side last year, is now at Lynchburg College. And you've mentioned Abby as well and the job that she's doing with the Hornets at 7-12 and coming into the tournament as the number 8 seed. But let's hear what Mandy had to say about this year's tournament. As well as a little bit of reflection on her team from last year into this year. Great to have with us Mandy King from Washington and Lee, the head coach of the women's basketball program there. And, Coach, it's only appropriate as we prepare for the ODAC basketball tournament next week to talk to the defending champion and talk to you a little bit about your thoughts after last year's win. And I know it was something that was very special to your program, and then moving into this year and your preparations for what has been a very difficult year for everybody in the ODAC because of the depth of competition.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's what a great opportunity to spend some time with you. And, revisiting last year, it was such a special moment for our program. And, I just have such a great group of young women, and we got hot at the right time. And, it's something that's given us an incredible amount of confidence going into this season. And, it's an experience we've been able to draw off of, and couldn't have been proud of everything that we went through, and really looking forward to trying to make that run again this year.
Coach, your team seems to be peaking at the right time right now, where you've got a lot of people that are playing well. Becca Bolton was last week's Player of the Week, and she's had three or four nice games in a row. Meg Ingram has been solid all year. And then Allie Long has been hitting the outside shot again, where she had a stretch where she made 13 in 2 games and now has made 10 in the last 2 games. Talk a little bit about the state of your team right now heading into the tournament.
Oh, absolutely. I love this team. We have great depth and experience. And, I think they've worked through a lot of adversity this year. And I think they've handled the expectations going into this season, with returning everybody from a team that won a championship a year ago. And I think they've handled those expectations in a remarkable way. And, I think that this team is just focused on, becoming a better team, getting closer with each other, really trying to improve every day out. And I think we're playing our best basketball at the right time. And, they're a team that is so special because we create a high number of assists. We work from the inside out. We board it pretty well. And, I have special players. I think, at the end of the day, our team chemistry and our leadership is something that, can give us an edge going into the ODAC tournament. And it's been a fun ride. I love this team. And, I think they have the ability to do something really special over the next couple of weeks.
Coach, when you look back on last year's standings, you were the 3rd seed and, of course, came out winning the conference tournament, entering the tournament with a 14-6 record. You've got 2 games left in the regular season between Lynchburg and Randolph. What are the differences this year, if any, if you look down through the ODAC and some of the teams and the players? Of course, if you look at the last 4 last year, it was Roanoke, Randolph, Macon, Washington, Lee, and Bridgewater entering the tournament. Talk a little bit about the landscape of the conference.
I think that the league looks exactly the same as it did a year ago. It's a tough league, 1-11. And, it's a league where, you have got to bring your best every single night. It takes incredible focus. And, over the course of, 3 or 4 months, it's very difficult for one team to run the table and stay at the top the entire time. And because of that, I think there's great perspective shown by all the teams, and it gives them the ability to, go back to work in practice and continue to get better and better. And, I think we're playing well at the right time, but I think so is everybody else. I think everybody's sitting in their locker room right now saying, okay, we all have a chance. What do we have to do over the next couple of weeks, to make sure that we make a great run and we're playing our best? And, I think all these teams have the potential to make that run we've all been, dreaming about. And, like I said, it's just a tough week because, most of the teams, they defend well, they're highly prepared, and they have really competitive kids. And, when you have that, mixture, I think all things are possible.
Coach, it's been a big year for you as well. You're in your 8th year there at W&L, and you won your 100th overall game this year. Congratulations for that. talk to us a little bit about what it's been like coaching at WNL the last 8 years.
This has been one of the biggest challenges I've ever been a part of, but it's also been one of the most rewarding experiences of my life. I have the ability to work with kids who have success in a well-rounded way. We've been ranked in the top 25 in the WBCA for team GPA. My kids have studied abroad in several different countries over the my time here. And then we've also, as a program, we get better and better every single year. And I love coaching here because of the success they've had in the classroom, because of how much they compete, in a variety of ways. But also because of the way that my kids play. They respect their opponents, they respect each other. At the end of the day, they really, how they play is a reflection of what's inside of them and how much they care about each other. And, because of their, ability to really work on investing in each other and the relationships that we have and the standards we set as a program and how hard we work, we really can live with whatever result because it's been it's a great journey going through it. And, that they're doing the things to play their play to their potential. And, it's a really, truly a special place. And I'm very grateful for the opportunities I've had. At Washington
Lee. Coach, we appreciate your time this morning with us and certainly wish you the best as you wrap up the end of the regular season and enter into what we all know will be a very exciting ODAC tournament starting next Thursday, February the 24th. So thanks for your time.
All right, thanks so much.
Well, JJ, great to talk to Mandy and hear her perspective, and certainly something we all are aware, and every coach in our league is very high on her team at this point in time in the season, and we wish them the best at the end of the season going into the tournament. But we've got another championship going on next week as well, our indoor track championships at Liberty University, their indoor track center. Very fortunate to be able to use that facility, and we're gearing up, and we had a chance to talk to Matt Littleton from Virginia Wesleyan, somebody who's got a team that's up and coming in the track. Not only are they very strong in cross country, but he's really built a great track program.
I would say you're absolutely correct, and it started with the distance, because it all started with cross country there, as Matt will explain. Sean Whitson was the cross country ODAC champion. He was a national competitor, as was David Kidd for them as well too, and they both have top times, or one and two top times, in a couple events here in the ODAC indoor track track ranks. So we'll have to see what happens next weekend at Liberty University. But it's got a different look that we see this year for indoor track, both on the men's and women's side, as we're missing some of the names that we've become familiar with over the past years. There's no Ricky Flynn in the men's side. And on the women's side, there's no Robin Yerkes, there's no Courtney Hartman, there's no Jaleesa Osborne. So we've got some new athletes that are going to look to make their names, and we definitely have some holdovers that have performed very, very well, and we've got some new athletes, as we've seen from just looking at the honor roll from this past week from the ODAC Players of the Week, an athlete like Randy Lott from Virginia Wesleyan, who ran an ODAC best time in the 60-meter converted to the 55-meter dash, an outstanding time. And then you've got Washington and Lee, who had their 4x400 relay team set the 12th best time in Division III yet this year, and a new school record, and they're the top time in the ODAC in that event by 4.37 seconds. So we've got some outstanding performers here this year so far. I would look on the women's side, you have to talk about some of the athletes like Olivia Mills from Bridgewater College, just put up some nice times. Carmen Graves from Roanoke College set a new top time in the 800-meter dash. Christina Washington has run well in the 200-meter dash for Lynchburg College. So we've got some athletes that are definitely going to show up, and we're definitely going to learn some new names when we get to Liberty in about a week.
Well, one of the familiar names that you may remember back from the outdoor and, of course, indoor ranks as well is Chrissy Rhodes, and it was a pleasure for me to have the opportunity to have Chrissy as a guest at the Salem Rotary Club for yesterday's luncheon. She did a wonderful job addressing the group, as well as reflecting back on the time that she's had at Bridgewater and some of the impact that the competition has made in her life. One of the things that resonated with me in her comments yesterday was just what we had talked about earlier in swimming, and the desire that the track teams, not only on the men's side or the women's side, they travel together, they work together. There's a lot of camaraderie, but there's also a lot of support, certainly probably not at the ODAC championships, for fellow competitors at ODAC schools, but when they travel to nationals, have the opportunity to compete in last chance meets to qualify for nationals. There's a tremendous amount of interest in seeing other people from the ODAC succeed, and she mentioned some of those people as well yesterday. But one thing we can be assured of is that the track coaches, in all likelihood, have this scored out already. It's one of the more methodical sports. It's certainly something that you can kind of look at depth and understand who has strength in certain events. And part of the gamesmanship that goes along with track is actually knowing who's going to compete in what event and trying to get certain points and pick up points where you can, or maybe able to slide somebody in that's going to get points that'll help you win the championship. So the one thing we can certainly be assured of is that Lynchburg College has had a lot of success on the men's side in the ODAC championships in the past. I'm sure new person at the helm, Dr. Jack Toms having stepped down, Doug Thomasy stepping in. It's going to be a little bit of a change there in working with the Lynchburg program. And on the women's side, as you mentioned earlier, I think there's a lot of changeover with Yerkes being gone and some of the power that Roanoke had. You know, are everybody else going to be able to fill in those roles and make a run at the championship?
Well, we had an opportunity to talk with Coach Littleton, and let's hear what he had to say, not only about his Marlin squad, but about what he sees at the upcoming indoor track championships.
Joined by Matt Littleton, the head men's and women's track and field coach at Virginia Wesleyan College. Matt, this is now your seventh year coaching the Marlins. Talk a little bit about the revitalization of the program underneath your guidance.
Well, when I got here 7 years ago, they had never had track and field at Virginia Wesleyan, and it was something that I had kind of expressed interest in beginning when I interviewed for the cross-country position, sort of explained to our administration that really without track and field, it was going to be very, very difficult to build a competitive cross-country program because good distance runners, they want to compete year-round. I think it adds a lot more credibility to your program to have track and field as a complement to cross-country. And I was very fortunate that we had an administration that was very excited about that and very accommodating for starting it. And initially, you know, the idea was it was going to be only for distance runners. It was going to be a way for the cross-country kids to compete year-round in track and have a chance to earn all conference honors in indoor and outdoor track and field. And that very first year, I started getting kids who were already on campus, you know, coming up to me in my office and saying, hey, you know, I long jumped in high school or I sprinted in high school. Can I be on the team? And I didn't want to turn kids away. You know, Division III in particular, it's about giving kids opportunities and allowing them to be involved. And so I just kind of kept taking on more kids. And that first year, we still ended up with some kids, you know, long jumping, sprinting, throwing, things like that. And then, you know, we started recruiting, obviously, after that first year, and we just kind of tried to build from there.
Let's talk about your teams this season right now, especially on the men's side. You had a big weekend at the Lafayette Rider Winter Games, especially for Randy Lott. He posted a top time in the 60-meter dash, which is converted down for the 55-meter dash for the ODAC performance list. And he also had a nice time in the 200 meters. And then you have people like Sean Whitson and David Kidd who performed well not only here but also in the cross-country ranks as, of course, Sean won the ODAC championship this year. Talk a little bit about both your teams, including the women as well.
Well, on the men's side, I mean, you mentioned Randy, you know, as a freshman, and he's had a huge impact on our team. And, you know, we had another sprinter, Tracy Johnson, who was second in the 100 meters outdoors in the ODAC meet last year. And to have Randy come in as a freshman and those two guys able to train together and push each other, not only has it made Tracy better, but I think it's made, you know, Randy better as well, and they're both having great seasons. And, you know, we knew Randy was really good when we recruited him, and Coach Drake, our sprints and jumps coach, we're so fortunate to have him. He's done a great job with all of our guys in the sprint and jumps crew. And I don't know how much you know about Coach Drake, but I mean, he's a legend in Virginia coaching. He's 83 years old, going to be 84 in May. He's been coaching for 60 years, and you know, he definitely knows what he's doing, and he's got those guys running well. As far as like Sean and David go, like you said, you know, they made it to nationals in cross country, and those are two great guys that have leading our distance crew, and they both work incredibly hard to get where they are. And it was great, especially for David as a senior, to see a lot of his hard work over his 4 years pay off in the fall and get to the national meet. And then, you know, Sean was there the second year in a row, and I know he has big goals for his senior year in cross country and you know, still for the rest of the track season. So that's exciting, you know, on the distance side. And then on the women's side, you know, our coach, Crystal Littleton, does a great job with the women. And she's got a very, very good freshman girl in Courtney Mabane that I think somebody you're going to be hearing a lot about over the next 4 years in the ODAC. She's a multi-event athlete. She's got one of the top pentathlon scores in the South region right now. And she's a good hurdler, good high jumper. She's just an all-around athlete. She can kind of do it all, and she's somebody who's going to have a huge impact on that program. And then Kelly Fouth is leading the distance crew. Her and Shelby Bryson both do have good cross-country seasons and are doing pretty well in the distance event. So, I mean, it's just it's been fun to watch both programs grow and just trying to get better each year and keep taking little steps higher.
Next weekend we have the 2011 ODAC Indoor Championships held at Liberty University, as it has been each of the past several years. Talk to us a little bit about what you think we can expect on both the men's and women's side from that championship.
Well, I think the conference, it's been awesome just in my short time here in the 7 years I've been here to watch how the conference has grown and improved. And I know when we came into the conference, other coaches expressed excitement about going from five teams to six and making the conference better. And then we had Guilford come in a couple years ago, and we went from six to seven, and that kind of had everybody excited because, again, it was going to just make the conference stronger. And now even, you know, next year we have Shenandoah coming in. We're going to go from seven teams to eight teams, and that's great for everybody. It really raises the level of competition. It gives the conference even more credibility as being an extremely competitive conference. And so it's been fun to watch it, you know, improve and grow, and I think you're going to see a great championship this weekend. I think on the men and women's side, you know, so many teams are good. I think, I don't have the region poll sitting in front of me, but on the men's side, I think the ODAC had five or six men's teams ranked in the top 11 in the region right now, in the South region, which is 12 states. So, I mean, that's loaded with ODAC schools. On the women's side, I think there were five teams in the top 11. So I think it's the strongest conference in the South region in track and field.
Well, Coach, I want to thank you for joining me here today, and good luck the rest of the season here with, I'm not sure if you're competing this weekend, but next weekend definitely at the championships.
Yes, and it's going to be exciting. I think anybody who's in the Lynchburg area who can get out to Liberty and watch that, they're going to see some exciting races, some exciting field events, and ODAC championships are always fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, Matt.
All right, thank you.
Well, Brad, it was nice to get a chance to talk with Matt Littleton. We talked to him a couple of years ago, and we asked him about what it was like building the program, and he touched on it again this year, getting a little bit more detailed, talking about his 7 years being at Virginia Wesleyan and starting the program as predominantly a cross-country conduit, and it turned into what has now become a solid track program.
Well, I think when you find, and he knew this when he came in, that he had cross-country, and he knew he was going to have that track component to build a program, not only on the cross-country side, which he's now become very successful in and had some kids, as we've mentioned, venture into the NCAA ranks for competition this year at the championships, but now he's starting to fill in the role with some sprinters and some other people in the field events that are going to really make a comprehensive track team that are going to have a chance to make a run at some championships. So we wish Matt the best at the championship on Friday the 25th. They're on the campus of Liberty University in the Tolsma Indoor Track Center, and we wish all of our competitors the best of luck going into that event.
Yeah, we've got a heavy schedule not only this weekend but throughout the week as we have women's basketball starting on Friday evening and continuing on Saturday, men's basketball also on Saturday, and that day will mark the final regular season games for both men's and women's basketball. So we'll be coming at you with brackets and pairings for the tournament upcoming, starting on the 22nd with the men's play-in rounds, and then beginning in Salem on the 24th with the women's quarterfinals, the men's quarterfinals on the 25th, both semifinals on Saturday the 26th, and championship Sunday, the women at 1, the men at 3:30 on the 27th. But not to get too far ahead, as we've got several events here this weekend with spring sports either still in action or just beginning, with baseball, men's and women's tennis, men's and women's lacrosse already being in action last week and continuing this weekend. But softball will also join the foray this weekend, so we'll have a full schedule. The ODAC website will be aplenty with information for anybody that wants it. And just go to the ODAC website or any of the websites of the participating schools, and you can find all you want about what's happening in the heavy week and weekend in the ODAC.
Well, add the postseason awards that we'll have in basketball going on with our tournament banquets next week, and we've got a plate full. So without further ado, I would say for J.J. Nikoloff, I'm Brad Bankston. We've got a lot of work to get done, and we certainly appreciate you listening to the podcast and look forward to you joining us next week, where we'll have a little preview of the basketball tournament in advance of things starting on Thursday.